What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome to All the Smoke, a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio in partnership with Showtime.
One of us gonna get in trouble today.
Welcome back to another edition of All the Smoke. Jack, what's up with you, baby?
And they ain't all it.
Man, we got a very special guest today, man. Big homie. Most dominant player ever step on the basketball court. Man, Shaq, we appreciate you.
Only person to catch me in midair.
Before we do our interview, go and get the jokes out. Pan down.
I got some Jergens in there.
Even pan down. Haggis sack with flour.
But then he got the Vestavoy, he got the Crisco on his tattoos, them tattoos jumping, boy. We in Atlanta, out here looking like my arms. Thank you for your time. 2020, a down year for the world. What was one thing, or positive or negative, you took from 2020?
Last year was the hardest year of my life. I'm 49 years old, and I've had a couple deaths, grandmother, father. But when my baby sister died, that hit me.
And how old was she?
She was 40. That really hit me. Because she had cancer a couple times, and we beat it. So when they told me she had cancer again, I figured, we're gonna beat it. But then, it was just too late. So I already got insomnia anyway, so that just made it times 10. And then one day I'm downstairs working out with my youngest son, Shakir, and one of my other sons comes in the gym and he's crying. And I'm trying to prefigure out what he's crying. When I say crying, I'm talking about tears everywhere. So I'm like, my mom okay? Your mom okay? My kids okay? And then I see the Kobe thing. So now I'm like, it gotta be a hoax, because I was watching the game when Bron passed him up. Probably just somebody messing around on the internet. And then the calls just kept coming in. And then you go watch TV, and it just hit. It put me in a shoulda mode. Mm-hmm. I shoulda spent more time with my sister. Mm-hmm. I shoulda reached out to young fella. I shoulda just called to just check on him. I shoulda. And, you know, things like that you can never get back. Right. Somebody did a picture, I hope y'all find this picture, of an old Shaq and an old Kobe. That's how I would have liked it to been. And you know how it is as basketball players. We don't always get along.
Right.
But if the respect is there,
right,
you can never be beaten. Like, y'all know him. He was an alpha. Y'all know me. I was an alpha. We didn't always agree on things, but when it come time to compete on the court, I think the fact that we always competed with each other made us even more unstoppable. Because, Matt, you know me. I'm always in the stats. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, damn, mm-hmm. you got 25 and I only got 15? There's yeah. something wrong with that pitcher. Mm-hmm. So we would always compete with each other. And we was able to win 3 out of 4. And we did the Laker interview, and we talked. We had a good time. Last time I saw him was when he announced he was going to be playing the last game, TNT. Flew down, and I did what I always did, even when he was a youngster. Hey, man, I need you to get 50 today. And what'd he do? Went out and got 60. That was probably the last time I saw him. But I should have reached out. I should have got in his DM. I just should have. So now I'm just trying to reach out more to people that I know, people that I love, people that I care about. But it's been a hard year. But growing up from a drill sergeant type father, you know, I don't want to use the word get over, but you try to overcome certain things and you just try to move on. But it's hard. Yeah. It really is hard. I got a mural of Kobe and my sister in the house, so I see him every day. But it's hard, and it just puts me in that I shoulda mode, and you should never be in I shoulda mode. So my advice to everybody out there, if you want to get something done, you want to call somebody, you want to say something to somebody, just do it. Doesn't matter if you have past differences, past beef. If you got respect for that person, you love them, and you just ain't talked to them for a while, get it.
I mean, that's you good to FaceTime out the blue. Should I just be FaceTiming out the blue? I'm like, what's up, big bro?
Yeah.
Just out the blue. I love that.
And I want to congratulate y'all. I really love this show. This show speaks our language.
Thanks, big bro.
It's actually the first show ever that speaks our language. I like the fact that you guys don't try to Brian Gumble it down. So congratulations, and I hope you guys get many, many, many more awards.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, 2020 was tough, but 2021, I'm trying to do big things and, you know, prosper and just stay focused.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, with the pandemic hitting, basketball's kind of changed from what we know it to the bubble last year to limited fans this year. What are your thoughts on this unique yet strange season?
It's different. And I think what we have to do is, I don't know if it's the right thing to do, but we have to stop comparing them to us.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. Because all I know is greatness.
Yeah.
Coming from Texas, all I know is them Spurs. All I know is Magic Johnson. All I know is Magic. Being a big man, all I know is Kareem, Wilt, mm-hmm. Russell. All I know is greatness. So sometimes when I don't see greatness, and I say I don't see greatness, they think we're hating. Well, I thought the definition of hate was somebody that can't do it, somebody that ain't doing it.
Mm-hmm.
None of them guys ain't doing anything that we ain't done. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I just try to do the same thing that they did to us. I mean, when I first got to L.A., I was putting up numbers, but we was losing to y'all every year, mm-hmm. Spurs and Utah every year. Mm-hmm. So somebody hit Kareem was like, hey, man, Shaq, probably one of the best Laker big men ever. And Kareem said he ain't winning nothing yet. So with him having G14 classification, I can't say nothing back.
Mm-hmm.
Can't say nothing back.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought because I had G14 classification, some of the guys would take it as constructive criticism.
Right.
And then some of the guys, and this same thing I did with young fella. Man, you ain't that good. And he'd go, he'd be like, okay, watch this, right. 30, 40, 50.
Mm-hmm. Prove me wrong.
Right? So, but I guess people ain't like that no more. And then I got the call from the godmother, baby, ease up on these
down,
boys.
Huh?
I'm like, but this is all I know. This is really all I know. So when I went at Donovan, and I kind of felt sorry that I kind of hurt his feelings, but I was just testing his temperature.
Right, we knew that.
Yeah, so like first when I said, hey man, I don't think you got what it take. I want him to be like, okay, old man, watch
I'm
this.
Show you. Yeah.
But he's doing that. He's showing us now that so that's exactly what I wanted. But of course with the internet, oh, he taking it too far. Mm-hmm. That. But what I was saying was, you can be good, but when it come time, especially in the playoff time, you gotta get to that next level. Right. We all had to go through it. Y'all remember, I was averaging 28-30. We get swept by the Spurs in Utah. I wasn't good enough yet.
Right.
Wasn't good enough yet. So it was a challenge to him. But I like his game. I like the fact that big guys are starting to emerge back up.
Mm-hmm.
I like Joker.
Mm. Jump was a problem.
And this league now, the guys that are at the top, besides LeBron, KD, these are guys that are similar to what y'all had to go through.
Mm-hmm.
Work hard to get to where y'all at.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Like Steph Curry, he wasn't no talked about guy coming out of high school and college, but he my favorite player. And he my favorite player because I've never seen that like that before.
Mm-hmm.
Closest thing to Steph I've seen was Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So when I say Steph's my favorite player, he really is because the guy that was from here worked his way to the top and did it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't team up with nobody. Mm-hmm. Him and Clay, Draymond, they did it the right way. So
Mahmoud's still doing it.
Yeah, he is. I know. Yeah, that's crazy. So I like Joel. I like the way he's playing now. Doc got him playing like a big man.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny that, you know, I always tell big guys, just because you can shoot don't mean you have to shoot. Like, no disrespect to y'all. I know y'all are great players, but I'm not shooting jumpers on y'all.
Right.
I'm going to try to back y'all down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And y'all ain't going to try to post me up. Y'all going to try to face, ISO, go, you know what I'm saying? So that's just the name of the game. So a lot of times when we say these things, I guess some of the guys take it personal. But you should know, in this thing of ours, if you guys play well, everybody get paid.
Yeah, everybody.
So if I'm giving you answers to the tests, hopefully you take them. If you don't take them, I understand. But I don't want y'all to, you know, think it's hate. Like with Dwight Howard early on, people, you hating on Dwight. No, I'm telling him, if he averaged 28-10, it ain't nothing nobody could say to him.
Right.
So, but it's fun. I like it. You know, I like the going back and forth. And this thing of ours, only we understand it.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, I remember, you know, they had this big thing about, you know, talking trash, white guy this, white guy that. That's what we do.
Yeah, it's part of
it. Ain't personal.
Man, not at all.
Ain't nothing personal. Not at all. It's just what we do, and, you know, only we understand that.
Between them lines.
And when you get outsiders talking about it, you know, becomes a big thing.
Yeah.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying, Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to
be my
name.
That's my game.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
We discussed how Allen Iverson kind of changed the culture of basketball, you know, not only on the court, but off the court with his appearance. You said Steph Curry changed the face of basketball itself and how the game is played. And before we even got on air, you were talking about a situation with your oldest son where he had a chance. He's standing in the corner when he should have dove back in the day. But now that's what the game is. And that's kind of the Steph Curry effect. Talk to the
Steph Curry is messing the game up. I'm on the internet now. I see a bunch of little kids dribbling, shooting 100 footers.
To get warm, to start the game.
Like, but he's doing something for them. He's giving them a chance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what I mean by giving them a chance, the other day I talked about Rudy Gobert making $200 million. People thought I was hating, but it's giving big guys that aren't David Robson, Tim Duncan, Dirk Nowitzki, it's giving them a chance. If you work hard, this is the bread you can make. And that's the point I was trying to make. Like, oh, you meant,
you know what I'm about to say. He ain't worth it. I'm gonna say that you get what you negotiate, and that's what it is.
Well, I'm not gonna say that. I don't like talking about people's bread. I'm glad he got it, but same thing happened to me in high school because my dream was to make $8 million for 10 years. That was my dream growing up in San Antonio. So one day my father came in the house with a paper and he hit me in the face. Pow! Get your ass up. We going to the game. So we go to the Spurs game. We at the top. He said, "See him." He just signed 15 for 3, John Conkak. And he wasn't that good.
Trash.
And I'm like, that's when I said, okay. You know, I learned in school about inflation and economics. I was like, shit, by the time I come out
in 90,
I could probably at least get 20, 25. So I end up getting 40. But so, you know, it's all about watching these guys and, you know, learning from them. But, you know, Steph, it probably is the most influential player when it comes to little people.
Yes.
Right? Because yes. I see a lot of little guards, like little kids. I'm going to these tournaments, they're doing stuff I can't even do.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good. And bad.
Nobody running the lane. Everybody stopping at the three-point line.
Everybody's
crazy. I mean, I coach AAU. Like, I coach the twins. You know what I mean? And like I said, it's from the time they warm up, they're shooting it from like the out of bounds line instead of like hitting layups and everything. And that's literally the effect. And the whole team shoots threes now. You know what I mean? So that's kind of just the way the game has moved. So I understand, like you said, giving little people a chance is what Steph's doing and giving them hope. But at the same time, like you said, there's a reason why Steph is so great because he makes a lot of them motherfucking shots he takes.
He makes a lot.
You know what I mean? The other people don't make as many.
And I used to hate on him early on in his career, but he ain't gonna make that. But he kept proving me wrong. That's why he's my best player. Mm. I like being proved wrong.
So my
message to these young cats, when I say something, prove me wrong.
Yeah, take it
Please
as a challenge.
Prove me wrong. Because when Kareem and them was doing all that talking, I said, okay, you're right, Mr. Abdul-Jabbar. Right. I'm not winning. I understand. I appreciate it.
But I will.
Yeah, and I called my father. He's like, motherfucker, he right.
Yeah.
You ain't doing shit. He said, you've been in L.A. 4 years and got swept 4 times in a row. Mm. You out there doing videos and rap songs and shit. You ain't doing nothing. So I was like, all right, you're right, Sarge. And then that's when, you know, Phil came along and, you know, we started turning around. So.
Well, you remember the saying used to be you live by the three, you die by the three. Like, no teams were winning shooting a large amount of three-point attempts like they are now, obviously, and they've changed the dynamics. So it makes sense. Take us back to your upbringing, your family dynamic, military kids, so moving around.
Born and raised in Newark, New Jersey. High-level juvenile delinquent. Got out of there just in time. This is around the time where people stop using their hands, maybe a chain and knife, and then pistols start coming out.
And your big ass definitely gonna get one of them.
Yeah, exactly. So
anybody fighting you.
By the grace of God, moved to Germany. Got away from that. Mm-hmm. Right. 2-3 years in Germany. Now the only thing I can focus on is basketball. So I'm terrible. 6'9". Cut from the freshman team, cut from the sophomore team. Again, my father comes in the house, get your ass up. We gonna go see this college coach, see if you can get a scholarship. It was Dale Brown. So I went in there and said, hey, coach, I need help. I ain't make the team, blah, 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 blah.
What age are you at this point?
This is like 13. Okay. But I'm 13, 6'9", can't play. I got bad knees. I got Osgood
Slaughter.
I got a brown knee brace with the hole in the middle.
The old school joint.
I'm slow as hell. I can't do anything. People laughing at me. So Coach Brown writes me. I do everything he say. So the next year, I still didn't make the team. So I send him a letter. Man, I'm going to just join the Army. They're right. I can't walk and shoot gun at the same time. I can't do it. So he said, no, I'm going to offer you a scholarship. So now we leave, and I come back to Texas. And I go to a small high school in Texas. Our team is terrible. I make the team. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, shit. And I'm starting to get a little confident. And then my dad take me to see John Conkak. And now everything just changed overnight for me. Everything just changed overnight for me. Being that I was a hip-hop kid, had a little rhythm, I'm not doing with Kareem. I'm not doing no skyhooks. I like this Magic Cat. So I started working on my little handles, right? And then when I first started dunking, I never wanted to dunk. So junior year, I got 45 at 3. I'm killing the little dudes I'm playing against. I finger rolls it. I miss. My father comes out in his fatigues. Time out. He, you know, he walks in the middle of the floor.
He wasn't time coaching. Out. He was just pop.
Yeah, he just pop. Time out. I say, yo, man, time out. Go bring your ass outside. I'm cool, then. Public Enemy out. I got the Flavor Flav. Like, I'm cool, right? Nothing. Yeah, I'm cool. So he takes me outside. See, yo, man, fuck you doing? I said, man, I'm just, you know, I'm working on my little mat. Whap! Smacks me. Ain't no magic. Be Shaquille O'Neal. Well, that's when I started dunking, right? And the reason why I've always dunked so fierce, because I was mad at him.
Yeah.
And I wanted to tear the rim down. But it was just regular dunks. So then I'm go home, and, you know, he making me watching college games. And I'm watching Syracuse play. Sherman Douglas throws it to Ronnie Cicely. He dunking, but he getting his legs up. I was like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the next game, my father's there. I'm dunking and getting my legs up. So what I learned from that, people started doing that.
Hell yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. I got something there. So that's when I just started dunking, dominating. And I'm the type, I was always a jealous kid. If your name's ahead of me, I'm coming after you.
Mm-hmm.
B.J. Tyler was ahead of me, right?
Mm-hmm.
LeBradford Smith was ahead of me.
Yeah,
they had a dude named Matt something that was ahead of me. So I'm averaging 30, 40 in Texas, but nobody recognized. So all these guys ahead of me, so I'm coming for them because that's what I've been doing all my life, right? So I'm coming. That's what I'm trying to teach my son now. I said, our lives is about peaks and valleys. It's only a few people that come in and just do this.
Yeah.
But the rest of us, terrible high school player, high school All-American, oh, now you got to go to college? Hey, they got a dude named Chris Jackson to stand. You're going to have to wait.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now you're the man in college. Oh, now you get to the pros. There's you and there's Robinson, there's Akeem. So
waiting on you.
I like being challenged. I like when people say you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
It just, you know, makes us work harder. So my father was always a guy that never told me I was great. Because he knew that was going to make me want to be great. And when I did accomplish something, he'd take the trophy. That's why I went so hard when I was winning. Because I took the trophy. He didn't say good game or nothing. All right, see you later. Have fun. September coming around. Let's see if you can get another one. Pussy. What? Get two. Two is good. Lakers went back to back. Can you go back to back to back? So that's why I, like, you know, went so hard. And then the business of basketball kicked in and, you know, started moving around, started getting older. But, you know, I wish I could have stayed there the whole time. And
take me back a little bit, though, when you said it was obviously a challenge, but at what age did it start becoming, was it ever like, damn, dad, he's rough on me, and this is, or was it always a challenge from the jump? You looked at it as a challenge, or did you ever look at it as like, damn?
He's not my real father, but I don't right. believe in that. So he met me and my mom when he was two. So he's my real father to me.
Mm-hmm.
And he made me hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would go outside and get bullied, and he'd be like, I come in the house, and be like, where you going? Get your ass back out there and fight.
Mm-hmm.
You too big, be like, so I'd have to fight. And like because, you know, we're from Newark, New Jersey, the projects. So his thing was, you're too big to be soft.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have a son, but I was his son. He had two daughters. But he's like, I'm not going to let you be soft. And then he told me football, basketball, baseball. And basketball, he just kept saying these three names, Kareem, Wilt, Bill. And from like five, he said, I'm going to make you the most dominant big man ever.
Mm.
And I can remember one time when I was 10, I had one move, fake left, go right, throw it off the backboard. So we was beating this team like 90-3. And the dude would come and grabs his kid. This motherfucker ain't 10. If he's 10, he gonna be the best big man ever. Like, I remember that. So, you know, my dad was like, dominate. Like, he would always say, dominate. So the fact that he stayed on me, and then the fact that I like to be challenged, and the fact that when you a big guy, you can't be soft.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You put all that together, and then
turned into you.
And then the fact that when you move from place to place, you learn different things. Like Newark, it's one set of culture, one rule. Then you move to Germany. When I went to Texas, I ain't never seen nothing like that before. White boys was hard.
Mm-hmm.
Spanish cats was hard. We was hard. Like, it's just, You know, like, I'd have to, like, walk through certain hoods to get to where I'm playing. I ain't never seen nothing like that before. And again, that was the time when all this was done, they started doing that. So now you got to navigate, like, a certain way. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, we like to do what we do and get on our stuff, but I'm thinking about my mama's new house. Like, I can't.
You ain't got time for that.
I can't do that with y'all right now. Mm-hmm. They got all these dudes ranked ahead of me on Fort. Let me get there first, and then we'll talk about it. But right now, I can't do it. That's so. Good, right? And then, you know, most of the guys that were doing it, they were responsible enough to say,
Right.
Go that way.
No, yeah. You got something else.
Don't go this way.
Something else in store.
Go that way. So, shout out to all the homies that took care of me.
When did you know you can dominate on the court? I remember seeing you in high school in the Austin State Championship.
I didn't know I could dominate until I heard somebody else say it. Like, my father was the only one in my ear, right? But then when I'm looking in the paper and I'm not getting the validation that I want, I still don't believe it. But now you get Dick Vitale to say something. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm like, for real, Dick? You think I'm the best high school player in the country? Mm-hmm. Okay, watch this. So that's when I knew I could start dominating. And then, like, every level you learn. So in high school, playing against little guys, it was easy. But then when I got to college, I had to go back to zero because Stanley Roberts used to kill me every night.
Oh, he was a hound.
No. He used to, y'all don't understand. The stuff I was doing to people, I got that from him.
Yeah.
He was a sophomore back down, your freshman
the back
year?
Down, yes. Every day he used to back me down, drop step, pump fake, and dunk on me. Embarrass me, legs all up, everybody in the gym going crazy. I got that from him. So he would do it to me, I would try to do it to him, but we go back and forth every day. Then when he failed out, being that I was trying to go at him, I already had all that. Mm-hmm. But then when it was my turn to step up, I did that. And then when I got to the pros, same thing. You know, Robinson used to kill me, Lajuan, Rick Smits, Vic, like all these dudes used to kill me, and I had to develop my own technique. Like, I wish I could have did what Garnett and Duncan did, face up and do all that. Mm-hmm. I got all that, but I ain't had time to do that. The double and triple was coming, so I had to
jump, hook, boom,
throw it out, clear the lane, get it, and go quick. So, but listen, it was fun. I was on a mission. I was always on the mission. For a guy who said it was terrible, I wanted to be known as one of the greatest players ever. And even though I would validate myself, I never believed it until other people validated it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when you playing in the TNT games, you hear Ernie, Steve Injection from the corner.
It's different.
Yeah, like Matt Bourne, like it's different.
It's different.
Like,
it feels good. Yeah.
So, you know, you get Ernie and them guys to say your name, and Dick Vitale and Bill Rafferty and all those guys to say your name.
With
then
the kiss.
Then I started believing it.
Yeah.
And then you add the money game to that. Mm. I'm trying to get that bread.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Trying to get that bread. Like, being the first pick, I think it was either Larry or Derek went before me. They got a nice thing. And I learned in college, negotiation, you start high. So when I first came to Orlando, I said, I want 80. I told my guy, I want 80. He said, I can't get you 80. I can probably get you 40. Take 40. So then we were one of the first ones to sign a 7-year deal, but with the option after 3. Mm-hmm. So after that, so I'm...
Keep
and I know you gotta. So if you average 21 this year, you got to go to 24. Mm-hmm. So I'm already knowing that. So then, that's when people start talking at 100 million. So that was a motivation. Being great was a motivation, and just playing and competing was a motivation. Cause I ain't gonna lie, I was terrified of David Robinson and Patrick Ewing, my rookie year. Terrified. Cause they had it all. But now when I'm in the game and Ewing go to the turnaround and I'm right there. I'm like, oh shit, he's human. Mm-hmm. And then don't let me block one, or don't let me dunk on you, then all that fear is gone. So
right.
David Robinson, the way he ran and all them people, like I was terrified of those guys, but at some point the student must kill the teacher to become the master. And that's all I wanted to do.
Mm. Let's go back to coming out of high school. What other colleges was recruiting you besides LSU?
University of Texas, Tom Penders, North Carolina, North Carolina State, and Illinois. Mm-hmm. But I'm sort of like you and Matt. I'm a mama's boy. Mm-hmm. I had to be closer to the crib.
Yeah.
And the fact that Dale Brown offered me a scholarship before I became the Shaq.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that meant a lot. Yeah.
That meant a lot. Mm-hmm. That meant a lot.
He saw something you didn't see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they set me up at the football game, too. I'm going to tell you how they did me. So when I first get there, there's a whole bunch of dudes. So, you know, if you want this guy, 7'1", LSU, from San Antonio to come to LSU, make some notes. So they put the spotlight on me. I turned around, nothing but...
The
thanks. Yeah, I'm like, just, man.
West side.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, man. The silky hair, the gray and the blue eyes. I'm like, damn, man. I'm about to sign up right now. They was all touching. Hey, come here.
Hey, Shaq.
Yeah, I was like, man, yeah. I'm signing. Yeah, I'm signing.
Obviously, we'll get to the jump in the NBA, but what was college basketball like back then? Because it was, people weren't coming straight from high school. People were going to pay their dues in college. You had to pay your dues, as dumb as you ended up being. What was that era of college basketball like?
I'm glad I had experience of not being the man. Because when I went to college, I was a man. But the first day I got there, it was a rude awakening.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't get no girls.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't get in the club. I had to wait in line at the lunchroom.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knew who I was. So now I'm just sitting back. The thing about me is I'm a great observer. So it was Chris Jackson, Stanley Roberts, and we had a quarterback. I forgot his name, was Todd something, but them dudes were like God on campus. So I just sit back and watch them. And I'll be like, that's going to be me one day.
Mm-hmm.
So, you just have to work your way up. I didn't start my freshman year. You know, I got some PT, but I just learned the game. You know, I learned that the double's coming. I learned where to make the passes at. I learned how to make an impact, and I learned how to put on a show. I had a bunch of dudes, four or five of my friends, my tutors. I made some T-shirts, Shaq Pack. I said, y'all just sit up here. Every time I do something, go crazy.
Yeah, it was already starting
go
to
crazy.
Sense of basketball.
Just go crazy.
Right.
Rebound, dump, block, just
anything.
Go. So now you see 10 kids. Now you see 20 kids. Yeah, now you see 30 kids. So. But it was different. And then I realized that even though you're good and great, it's always somebody better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was the man in the West, but that Tim Duncan was a motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Y'all, like, all of them, we all got something. So we go up against Duke. Christian Leighton to tear me a new one.
Mm.
And then Dick Vitale starts saying his name, my name. Now I'm mad.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know I got work to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm jump hooking it every night. Going to the gym. Y'all going to the club now? I'm good. I'm trying to get this first pick. Now they say he the first pick.
Mm-hmm.
Who this Alonzo dude? Now y'all got me a three? Oh, hell no. So now I'm working out every day. We play Duke one more time. I show them who I am. Then we still lose, but I show them, which, you know, puts me back at the top. But look, I like being challenged. I think it makes you a better person. And coming from where we come from, and I've been knowing both of y'all since y'all first came in the league, we don't back down.
At all.
Ever. Even if we know we can't do it, we still don't back down.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what makes us all great. That's what I try to be, you know, instill in these youngsters, but I think they got it too easy.
It's different, yeah. There wasn't that struggle and that ground we had. I remember the first time we met, my freshman year at UCLA was a lockout, so you and Kobe used to come to the UCLA games and we saw you. But I remember when I worked out for the Lakers, this motherfucker comes out the back in tights, shower shoes, no shirt, nipple rings, and
gives
me a big old hug. I'm like, what the fuck?
I had them big ass
nipple rings, bro.
It was a bet, America. don't think I'm freaky like that. It was like a bet. I did lose a bet.
Motherfucker has some nipple ring. So you end up being the first pick in Orlando, you know, a new expansion team. What was that experience like?
I learned how to become arrogant, but professional arrogance.
It's important.
Because growing up, I never talked back to my father, high school coach, or college coach. You got a pad? I got to tell you the story. Hand me that.
Honey bun, why they ain't got nothing in there?
It's just empty
Coldest.
Shit.
So, you know, I'm nice and respectable. I'm trying to do things the right way. But D. Scott in my ear, man, it's your team, man. You got to take over.
Who said that?
D. Scott. D. Scott's like, hey, man, it's your team. Forget all that. It's your team. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, nah. So one day, Jerry Reynolds, Iceman, in the shoot-around, we playing against Dale Ellis. And Matty Gukas was like, hey, man, they're going to run these plays for Dale Ellis. You got to go over the screen. So the first three plays, Jerry go under the screen.
Let
Dale, boom, 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 boom. So we call a timeout. And Matty was like, God damn it, Jerry, can I take you on that? So this is the first time I seen a player talk back. I never seen that before. It's the first time I seen a player talk back. Jerry Reynolds go, fuck that shit. Call some plays for me, too. And I'm like, yeah. And then Maddie did it. And then D was like, see? That's how you got to be. That's when I... That's when I kind of started... I kind of started serving myself. So my first power move is... My first power move is after we lose, I'm in L.A. same day. We lose on a Sunday, I'm in L.A. So I'm shooting a movie, Blue Chips. And I say, hey, you got to make me a court so I can work out. This skinny kid, this motherfucker diming me up like magic. I don't know who he is. Because, you know, man, I don't be paying attention to the young cat. So, I'm thinking he an actor. So finally, I said, yo, man, who's this? They said, yo, man, that's Penny Hardaway. Mm. I said, he an actor? He said, no. They think he going to be number two, number three pick. And I'm like, damn. So I got this in my head. So my first major move was when I found out we got the ball. Hey, man, y'all don't get this Penny dude. I'm going to be looking to do something else. Just to try. First time I was ever arrogant, first time I ever talked back. So now we shoot the movie whenever. So the draft comes. They draft C-Web. Now I'm pissed. I'm tearing my house up, breaking mirrors, breaking trophies, and then they do it. They do the switch. I'm like, man, this guy was right. Mm-hmm. It works. Mm-hmm. So the second big move, hey, man, give me Horace.
Horace Grant.
I don't know if we can afford Horace. You don't get Horace, I'm going to be looking to do something else after my deal. So now I'm learning how to... I'm learning how to maneuver because, they saying it's your team. So we all know if it's my team and it don't go right, I'm getting the blame. So if I'm going to get all the blame, I'm going to make sure I'm totally in control. Mm-hmm. So that was what I learned about being a professional. Because, my father, you tell you something back to my father? You're getting touched up, push-ups, sit-ups, and them damn Supermans on your elbows. And you got to sit on the wall. And you got to sit on the wall with some dictionaries like this. And if you move, you get three paddles. Mm-hmm. So I went into, talking back. But once I figured how to do that, I was like, okay, this is how this works.
The rest is history.
Yes, it is.
What was your welcome to the NBA moment?
My welcome to the NBA moment is different because it's not about the game. My welcome to the NBA moment was when I first got to Orlando. I already got it in my head, I need my family with me. So my mother, she don't want to take nothing from me. So I'm looking at this big house, and I already bought the house. So I'm looking at the big house, and I'm like, I told him, I said, I'm going to get my house first, and I'm going to take care of y'all. But I was doing the opposite. So we're looking at this big house. And she's like, I like it. 5 bedrooms, 10 baths, it's cool. Hand her the keys and wash some tears. Mm. That's my welcome to the NBA moment. Yeah. Because, riding around in Texas, I used to ride around San Antonio just looking like, damn.
Looking at houses.
Look how they live. Mm-hmm. And look how we live.
Yeah.
That's what I want. So that was my moment right there, just being able to buy my mom and dad a house, brothers and sisters, and then, take my dad to the dealership. I just got that black-on-black six, what you want. Mm-hmm. Same thing you want. So that was my big to the NBA moment. I already knew I was going to do well.
Right.
Got to do well. But I didn't know that I was as close to the greats that early. Mm. Like I said, I was terrified of Ewing and Robinson, but if I'm right there on your shot, all I gotta do is make some adjustments before I get it. And then if I'm bumping you back and you,
I got you.
And I'm close to the rim like that, and all I gotta do is turn my wrist and throw it down,
Mercy.
But it took me a while to get there. But look, it was fun. It was something that we always wanted to do. Get there. Now that I'm there, I got to represent my family and I got to represent myself. And I got to look for challenges that's going to make me great.
Mm-hmm. You were able to improve Orlando by 20 games your first year. And one of the reasons why I look at you so high as far as all-time players and then all-time big men is because you played in a rare era where there was a bunch of big men. You know what I mean? And that's all due respect to Bill and to Wilt. But there wasn't very many, night in, night out, you faced a dominant big man. Who were some of the ones that really gave you problems early on?
The ones that I didn't respect enough always tore me up. Mm. Big Country always killed me.
Big Country.
Rick Smits always killed me. Duckworth always killed me. Bill Winnington always killed me. Who's the guy that played with y'all at the Spurs? For Purdue?
Will Purdue?
No, it wasn't Purdue. Who was it?
Purdue. It was...
Jack didn't smoke too much weed to remember
that. Had Tim Duncan, Malik Rose, and Dave Robinson.
I used to hate Malik Rose.
He was a nuisance.
But there's just like... So which also told me you got to respect your opponent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know I'm better, but look, we all come out here to play a game,
all
so...
play.
You know, when it comes time to playoff situation, I would turn the switch on. But, like, during the regular season, especially, like, if you're in certain cities, listen. Dallas, I wasn't going to do nothing.
Turn up.
Toronto, I wasn't going to do nothing.
Turn up.
Miami, I wasn't going to do nothing.
Turn up, turn
and
up.
And New York, I wasn't going to do nothing.
Two times.
You already knew.
In the first quarter, anyway.
Right.
Right. And I can remember being posting up in the game and Cole like, nope, you ain't ready. Look, I'd be like this.
Swing it.
Look, I'd be in the post like this. Yeah.
Like, no.
The funniest though was Big Shot Bob. Big Shot Bob be like, yo, man, what the hell you was doing for the game? I wasn't doing nothing, dog.
Big Shot Bob.
I wasn't doing nothing.
Mm-hmm. Breaking Back Boys. Ness and Sons breaking the back boys. Like, talk about that, just being...
It was all being mad at my dad for punching me in the face that one day.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, motherfuckers were breaking... A broken backboard had happened before, but you were bringing down the whole stanchion.
Yeah.
Because I knew if I dunked hard, I got your attention.
That scared me watching. I was little. That shit used to scare me. Like,
I got your attention. Especially if you're really big and strong and I go through you and throw it down, I got your attention. Now it's going to be easier for me the rest of my career. So I just wanted to, like, really, really get your attention. And I know it was going to show it on ESPN. And no other big guy was doing that.
Right.
Like, I had to take pride in being different.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I was trying to do was get these commercial endorsements. There wasn't no big guys doing that.
Right, right.
And I took a college course at LSU in marketing. And the guy was like, hey, present us something that you could see in the future. So I came with the Shaq shoes. Same thing I'm doing now. Shaq shoes, Shaq underwear, Shaq T-shirts. And the guy says, big guys don't sell, Mr. O'Neal. I was like, he's right. Because the only guys that were doing commercials then was Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, and maybe Mike.
Mike.
So I was like, you know, I got to do something different. So I was doing whatever it takes to get on that da-da-da, da-da-da. And then once they see me there, then I would just, you know, show my personality.
You've always been big on the business of basketball, probably the biggest to ever do it, to be honest with you. But what was that first experience like with Blue Chips as an actor? The pickup games, the scrimmages, you found someone you thought was an actor who ended up being Penny Hardaway. What was all that like?
That was about taking advantage of opportunities. We don't get those opportunities.
Right.
I never wanted to be an actor, never wanted to be a rapper. But I'm sitting in the Four Seasons Hotel and the guy says, hey man, I'm a Hollywood producer, here's my card. Doing a movie called Blue Chips, think you should do it. Man, I'm not a good, I've never acted in my life. What you gotta do is play basketball, play yourself. Nah, we're gonna give you $3 million. Mm. How much?
He said what?
I'll do it. So, just playing, you know, with Penny, and that's how I met Penny. You know, everything happens for a reason. And same thing with the rap thing. When I first get drafted, Arsenio Hall's bucking me. Yo, man, we want you to be on the show. I don't wanna be like everybody else. I don't wanna go get no $1,500 suit, talking. And I said, let me do that and then let me rap at the end. So I did something with Fush Nickens.
Mm.
My agent called me and said, man, you're not going to believe this. I said, what? He said, Jive will offer you a 3-album deal, $10 million. Mm. I'm taking that.
Why not?
Yeah. But then I meet with Jive. I said, look, nobody wants to hear me rap by myself. Let me rap with all my favorite people. So as a kid, I was on punishment. It's like a dream come true.
Well,
look, I done did Snoop, Peter Guns, Lord Tariq, Nas, Jay-Z, Fat Joe. Like, I don't know.
Michael
Jackson.
You ever get a chance to rap
with Big? Yes. You Can't Stop the Rain.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. That's the hardest one.
That's what it was about for. It ain't about being, like, because you know, rappers don't make no money. You gotta be Travis Scott to make money.
Yeah,
like,
baby.
So, yeah, like, because I went platinum and I got a check for $1 million. I was like, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I had the commitment, so...
The only athlete to ever go platinum.
Huh? I'm the only one? It was fun. So, you know, we don't get a lot of opportunities. I was always taught to take advantage of my opportunities. So every time I get an opportunity, I'm always taking advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18, my first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my name.
That's my game.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
95 finals run. Guys, shut the Boston Garden down. Beat the Bulls. Pacer battle. And then you run into Akeem and them in the finals.
That was my fault we lost.
Why you say that?
Because as a leader, I didn't lead. Mm. After we beat the Bulls, I let up.
Took your foot off the gas.
We beat Mike. Oh. We straight. We done played Houston before. I think it was 1-1 or, you know.
Even series. You know, yeah.
Even series. Akeem going to get 30. I'm going to get 27. Right? And off the record, we had 8 days off. Mm. Me and D. Scott was doing stuff we weren't supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And they had like a little parade and all that. We was just celebrating.
Right.
So it taught me never celebrate too early. Mm-hmm. And then when we get in the game, we hang out with them. And then it just, you know, Nick's, and, you know, can't blame it on Nick. My fault, because I didn't get the guys ready, but Nick misses the free throws. Mm-hmm. We go down 0-1. Second game, we go down 0-2. We go to Houston. We know we don't have a shot, so we get swept. But it just taught me never to celebrate too early. And it also put that hunger in me. And I said, okay, if I ever get back to the finals ever again, mm-hmm. I got to dominate. 40s. Forget that 28-10 I'll be talking about. I got to be in the 40s. Mm. That's why when we made it to the finals, I was trying to put up big numbers. Because if we don't win, it's going to be my fault. And as a leader, I accept that. I want that. I want you to say, Shaq ain't shit. That's why they lost. It's his fault. I accept all those challenges because that's how it was for me as a youngster, growing up with a drill sergeant father.
Right.
If you walk in your brother and sister to school and your brother come back with his shirt messed up because he got jumped, that's your fault.
Yeah.
And I'm whooping your ass.
No question. That's how it's supposed to go.
Right?
No question.
So it just taught me never to celebrate too early. Mm.
Obviously a cool run, but don't get what you set out to do, which was win a championship Orlando. You make a jump to LA. How did that move not only benefit basketball-wise, but change your life off the court as well?
It was the $100 million talk. Mm. And I made 40 the first time. And I said to myself, I'm going to go on off and tell them I want 150. Mm. Just to see. So they had it in their mind that no guys were worth $100 million. And I was actually getting ready to sign. We were here during the Olympics. I was getting ready to sign 80 for four.
Mm. From which is 20 Orlando?
From Orlando. Yeah, I was getting ready to sign to Orlando. But my agent told me, hold up, give me one more day. So me and Money Mark, we in Magic City.
Money Mark.
And my agent called me and said, hey, man, come to the Omni Hotel. I got something for you. So we get to the Omni Hotel. Jerry West is in a Versace house coat. Come on up, big fella.
Come on in, big
fella. And I come and I was like, how you doing, Mr. West? He said, I got some good news. I got some bad news. I said, what's the bad news? He said, I can't get you that 150 that you asked for, but I can get you 120. And then I told my agent, I said, did you give Orlando a chance to count? They don't want to count. Cool. So I'm signing. Nobody knew. Family didn't know. Penny ain't know. Next day in practice, it broke. I was comfortable with L.A. because after we lost, I was already in L.A.
Right.
And then it was a chance for me to
really
do
set up
other
shop.
Stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do other stuff. And they had a nice team.
Mm-hmm.
Van Exel was cold.
Mm-hmm.
They had Eddie Jones. They
Jones,
had
Elton.
So that day, it probably was going to take some work, but they had a nice team. But I can remember this vividly. I'm signing. As soon as I get signed, Mr. West said, hey, man, I just moved Vladdy. And I don't know how I got this kid. I got a kid named Kobe Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
You and him, we're going to get multiple championships. And I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. Because I'm looking at all the goddamn zeros.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, yeah, he said that. Like, he saw something in Kobe that nobody saw. And then in an interview, Kobe reminded me that he came to Orlando to see Penny, and Penny kind of blew him off, and he had this sad look on his face, and I grabbed him, was like, come on, man, I'll take a picture. I never knew that was him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I never knew that was him until he told me, you know, when we did that TNT mm-hmm. Laker thing, he's like, you don't remember meeting me? He never told me that. Like, you know, through all the years that we played in there, he never told me that.
He told us the Penny story.
Yeah.
I didn't know that you, that's dope.
Uh-huh.
How did you and Kobe connect when y'all robbed at the same time?
He was a guy that wanted it right away. And we all understand pecking order.
Mm-hmm.
My team. That ain't about to happen.
Right.
But I saw that he had something in him. And he wanted it right away. A lot of guys don't have that when they come in. A lot of guys just like to go through the rope, but he wanted it. 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 So his rookie year, we let him do what he do, make his mistakes. But the defining moment in his greatness was we were playing Utah. Nobody wanted to take the last shots. I'm not taking the last shot shooting 40% from the free throw line. Y'all ain't going to be talking about me.
Mm-hmm.
Shaq lost the game. So he takes three shots to air balls. If you can remember, and I hope you can show this clip, I was the one that grabbed him and said, hey, man, don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
One day people are going to fear you. And the next year he come in, we come in a little more. He wanted it. 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 And this is where I wish I was a little bit more tactful. Egos get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
That word, my team, will mess you up.
Yeah.
Right? Especially from a big guy giving up to a little guy. I don't play that shit.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of, but fortunately it still worked out. We still won 3 out of 4, but a lot of necessary stuff that shouldn't have happened happened because of the ego. And it was mm-hmm. probably my fault, but one thing I never do is I never disrespect nobody.
Right.
I ain't got to like you. I ain't got to do what you do. But if you open in the corner, Matt, even if we had a fight the other day,
mm-hmm.
I know you're going to knock that down
mm-hmm.
for me.
Yeah.
I'm kicking it. So, you know, even though we didn't hang out or do anything of that, I'm always looking for him first. And he's always looking for me when he go into the hole to get double team, he dropping off. So I think that helped us. And I always tell people that in relationships, you know, when you focus on the tasks, sometimes the relationship dwindles, but you always got to have respect.
Mm-hmm.
You always got to have respect. I'm anxious to know how those Spurs teams were.
Mm.
Did you guys ever fight?
No.
Yeah.
The only person that got in the fight was me and Pop. Every time he took me out the game when I didn't want to come out.
No, but I mean like Tim and
Ginobili. No, nothing. Yeah, never. See, never none of that.
That's probably the first time I'm hearing of a dynasty that never had no problems.
No problems.
All the other dynasties had problems.
Mm-hmm.
They all had problems. Because, you know, you get egos involved. But I knew that he had it. And I remember him at 18 years old telling me he's going to be the Will Smith of the NBA. I was like, slow down, young fella. But he had a dream. He had a vision.
He got jiggy with it.
Yeah, he did. he had a dream. He had a vision. And look, he went for it.
Being 49-year-old Shaq, looking back on those Laker days, you said you won 3 out of 4. You said you probably caused some of the ego. If you had the wisdom you have now back then, how many championships you feel like you guys could have won?
Seven.
Seven?
Because the reason why I got traded, it wasn't about me and Kobe beef. It was what they wanted me to take less money.
Mm-hmm.
Not doing that.
Mm-hmm. Cole said at least 10 when we asked him. He said at least 10.
Yeah, he said 7 and 10.
If it wasn't for the Spurs.
Yeah. No, that's true.
That's what Cole said.
No, that's true. But I got money. I had money.
Right.
I just should have been like, all right, I raise you enough. It's your team now.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I'm going to do. I'm still going to do my 28-10.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But I was like, nah, I want 150.
Mm.
I don't care what you, like, if I had all I would do again, I probably would have had a meeting with the family. What y'all want to do?
Mm-hmm.
Want me to take less money, take a less role, stay here, or you would still want me to be Shaq? See, it's that ego.
Mm-hmm.
And the ego still got me what I want. I still went to Miami, Pat took care of me, I still won one, but I would have liked to have stayed there the rest of my career.
Damn, imagine that. So 3 championships, 3 finals MVP. You spoke to, if you ever got to the finals, you was going to dominate. You did that off to South Beach. What's that experience like with a young D-Wade?
So when I got to D-Wade, I was like, I know you heard all the stories. It's your team. What I should have did in L.A.
Mm.
Now that I'm thinking about it. So we ain't gonna have any problem. You the man, you the CEO, I'll be the consultant.
Mm. But imagine that as a young D-Wade hearing this motherfucker say, I'm on your team, but it's your team.
Because crazy, I didn't even, it's not that I don't pay attention to guys, I just don't care. I got my own thing going on. I didn't even know who he was. So while we're in the playoffs, I'm watching him go at Baron Davis, I'm like, who is this?
Young motherfucker.
All right, so then when the Lakers talking about playing me, I was like, I know where I want to go.
Mm.
I
want
to go back to Florida.
Oh, they gave you that chance? They gave you that opportunity?
Yeah. So I want to go play with him. So as soon as we got there the first day, I said, look, man, you heard this, you heard that. Me and you ain't going to have no problem. You the man. Take as many shots as you want.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get 28-10 to make everybody feel good, make myself feel good. So, but just, and we never had problems.
Mm-hmm.
So, how you talk about the Spurs never had problems? We never had an altercation.
Yeah.
Only time we had an altercation was when I had to check everybody during the finals that year. Because everybody
going
waiting.
Into the finals, or you were already in the finals?
No, versus Dallas when we went down 0-2.
Yeah.
And everybody waiting. Like, yo, man, what you waiting for?
Right.
I got 3 dudes on me when I kick Antoine, Posey, Flat. So then we, you know, and the respect thing. We able to go in the meeting and go at each other, and it just turned around. Flat, I got 4 people on me, though. Everybody focused on me. We going to use that.
Got to.
The ultimate, when they come, I'm going to do something with it. I get the rebound. This series ain't about just throwing to me, doing all that. I ain't doing nothing right now. I'm old. I ain't doing shit right now. But, you know, Avery Johnson's still worried about me. We going to use that.
Right.
I kick it back out, go to work. So, you know, we had one little fight, one little argument, and we was able, you know, to
best
win that.
Best decoy in the history.
Yeah, best decoy. And then again, ego kicked in. Me and Pat got into it, and that's how I ended up in Phoenix with you.
So you get a championship there, you end up in Phoenix. One thing I liked about you were obviously there was no question once you were on the court, you were the most dominant motherfucker. But me and UD were talking, we just had UD 2 weeks ago, you had a way of keeping the locker room energy light. And I think that's so important because you can't always be motherfucking, like sometimes you have to laugh and joke
big
around.
Kid.
And you were the king at that. And where did that come from?
It just, you know, being a leader all those years, you got to keep people together. One thing I like about him, if you do something in front of him, he ain't going to say nothing. So one day we in the locker room, Goran Dragic?
Mm-hmm.
Goran Dragic keep talking. Like, yo, man, shut up. He just keep talking.
With the young one.
So I get behind him, put him in one of them UFC things.
Yeah.
He falls to the ground. It's me and Matt in there. Matt take his Gatorade, walk out. They ask, what happened, man? I said, I didn't see nothing.
That's it, bro. What you mean?
Look, I told him, I said, hey, man, we got a game. Stop talking. Oh, you're not going to do nothing. You're old. I said, all right.
Quick, too. I was like this.
Yeah. Yeah. Steve came in like, what happened, man? Like, I don't know what happened. But ever since then, I you know, had his respect. But it was always my job as a leader to keep everybody
loose,
you know?
Kobe spoke to that, too, because he said he learned how to, you did that and put it in his own way, because he didn't understand that when he played with you.
Because, you know, you got to keep everybody loose. Like, you guys are shooters, and shooters go into slumps. But I can't come down on y'all when y'all shoot. So I gotta make you laugh.
Yeah.
I gotta come to your house. I gotta ask you how your mama doing. I gotta come to your kids' part. Like, we just gotta do all that.
Shaq used to come to the crib with the whole fam. The twins were babies. He'd be wrestling the twins when they were just crawling on them, you know what I mean? Little tiny thing. One thing, like I said, I want to ask you about this, and we can go into it if you want to talk about it. The little back and forth war between you and Lou Amundson. Remember what you did before shoot around them one day? You put something in your tights?
No, go ahead, say it.
This nigga put. So him and Lou Amundson are going back and forth. This motherfucker put Lou's mouthpiece in his tights for shoot around. Went through the whole shoot around. He only told me and maybe one or two other people about it.
Because I know he ain't gonna say
I didn't say nothing.
Because I know he ain't gonna say
nothing. So this motherfucker puts Lou's mouthpiece in his tights, goes through shoot around with it, and quietly puts it back up in his thing. But by the time the game comes around, you must have told people, because more people knew about it. So Lou puts his motherfucking mouthpiece in after coach talks, so we're about to huddle, and we just lose it, bro.
No, because he
did some shit to you, though.
Because he broke up my van one day. I had a big-ass van. And as soon as I opened the door, all them little white peanuts go. I said,
they were going to war. Man, we tried to hold him down, too, and cut his hair. This motherfucking buddy hit this dude's bicycle. Somehow he got his bicycle up on the stoplight. Like, the top of the stoplight, his bike. Because you used to ride a bike.
I know some people.
Right.
Oh, man.
You got a chance, obviously, to play. You being as great as you were, you got a chance to play with Kobe. You got a chance to play with D-Wade, Nash, LeBron, Paul Pierce, KG. What was that experience like? Obviously, you being great, but then, you know, playing with those guys, some of them in your prime, and then later on in your career.
I realized early that you could never do it by yourself, no matter how good you are. Mm. I realized from also watching other greats, there's two or three greats on the court at the same time. My favorite team growing up was the Lakers.
Mm.
Kareem, Magic, Worthy, Coop, doing what he do. So I always knew I needed somebody else of that caliber. So whenever I got traded, I wanted to go somewhere where, one, I could win, and one, I could help somebody else win. I wish I would have got to you in Phoenix 2 years earlier. Because at that time, and age is a month.
Undefeated.
Like, I just didn't have it. Like, mentally I had it, but you remember, just, and like, if Nelly and them wasn't doing that treatment, I probably would have went out, you know, 2 years earlier. But listen, my process, our process was fun. I had a great time doing it. I could say I did it my way.
Mm-hmm.
I could say guy from New Jersey, from Germany, from Texas, put his name on the map. Guy represents the culture, the hood. And I want all little kids, especially the big kids, to look at me and see how I did it and cheat off my tests.
Dope.
Look at Rudy Gobert, see how he did it and cheat off his test. I tell my son all the time, yo, man, 200.
Mm, right there.
200. That's right there. That's your money. And you standing in the corner talking about your guy not going to pass, go get it.
Mm-hmm.
200. Man, bro, I wish I was 17 right now.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm.
I wish I was 17. Y'all wouldn't see me on no social media. I'd just pop out of nowhere. I'd be like, man, who's this kid? Man, who's this kid from Atlanta? 7-1. I'd just be working.
As players, like you spoke on earlier, when you hear certain people talk about you, it's that, oh, shit, okay, TNT. The post-game crew is that for us as players. What was it like, you know, to transition into that and being a focal point with that team?
It came a year too early. Because when I left you, I had a two-year deal in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted the Shaq tour.
Mm.
I wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
But the Achilles came out. I wasn't going to even try and come back. I was just going to take a year off travel. And then they come to the house and say, hey, man, we want to hire you. And I'm like, all right. So I'm trying to be like Brian Gumbel. I'm terrible. Awful. And then, you know, Charles going to take up the whole segment by talking. I only get a few seconds. Right? So then the guy.
Remember that shit used to piss you off,
though?
Yeah,
it did.
That shit used to piss, because he used to say it on air, like, damn, motherfucker, you talking too much.
So then the guy came in and said, man, we ain't bring you here for that. He wants you to be Shaq.
Right.
I said, okay, so once I start doing that, it's better. And, you know, the good thing about that show is they allow us to be ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think from a basketball standpoint, we have a lot of experience. You know, the fans know that, you know, you got two Hall of Famers up there and you got a guy that was a part of a championship team and you got Ernie. So I think our respectability is up there. But I like watching all the shows. I like watching all the shows when it's us talking.
Yeah.
And when there's some other people talking, if I can ask you how you know, then you're not credible.
Right?
Right. Think about it. Steven should have did this. How you know? You a shooter?
Mm-hmm.
You have, so... being that it's us talking, you, him, Paul, and all that is us talking, I can respect the fact, because I know that y'all know. Y'all know that we know, so. Mm-hmm.
Real quick, before we get to the quick hitters and get you out of here, you've always been about the business of basketball from day one. And now, obviously, it's more commonly talked about, and it's something to strive for. But when people weren't talking about it, that was always your mindset. I mean, you're on every motherfucking commercial. You are a part of hundreds of companies. Where'd that mindset come from?
I'm not going to use the word beat up. I'm going to use discipline. Whenever an athlete did something crazy, I would get discipline. Mm-hmm. Athlete lose $60 million, I get discipline. Mm. Touched up by the Sarge. Mm-hmm. My worst ass whooping was Len Bias. I didn't even know who Len Bias was. My father came in, face full of tears. If you ever do coke, I'm gonna kill you. Mm. So my dumb ass was like, bro, I don't mess with coke, I mess with Pepsi. Well, that's what I said. Motherfucker, I ain't talking about that. So then he made me sit down and watch it. Right. That's why I never did drugs.
Right.
That's why I don't do none of that. I don't do nothing. No, sir. Like, he came in, he was just...
Right.
And then I watched the story. I'm like, damn, my man could have been the first pick. So whenever somebody made a mistake, he'd bring me in, he'd teach me. So I never wanted to be broke.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what you did for me? That time I had court?
Nope.
I'm sitting in court. I'm actually standing up, the judge walk in, and as soon as you get ready to sit down, I was like, Judge, hold on, Mr. Jackson, before we even start, I got somebody want to talk to you. And they FaceTime you, remember? And all my charges got dropped. I said, this motherfucker's everywhere, dog. This mother, just turn around and FaceTime me. And
big fella.
And drop my charge, and said, man, this motherfucker's everywhere. But you didn't tell me. I was with Max. You know what I'm saying? You did not tell me. And I was like, man, this dude's everywhere.
Cool.
You know what? You have to.
Plug.
Yeah, take care of people.
Mm-hmm. You always took care of me.
And y'all know, I messes with y'all. Mm-hmm. I don't mess with a lot of people, but this dude did some things for me.
Yeah.
Trust me, he did some things for me. Mm-hmm. Shit could have went all the way left. Mm-hmm. But because he a stand-up guy and he don't see nothing.
Mm-hmm. That's how I go.
That's how I go. So I'm always had love for you. I'm always had love for you being from Texas. I remember one time when I came to your hood, you know, your whole hood showed me love. Mm-hmm. So
they appreciated that.
You know, when I saw you was going through that minor stuff, I'm in that world.
That G14 world.
Yes, I'm in that world. Mm-hmm.
Last quick hitters. First thing to come to mind, your top five rappers.
See, I hate doing this because I know all the rappers. I don't want them to get.
They'll be all right.
I don't want nobody to get upset. Biggie? Okay, since we're all basketball players, can I do an Eastern Conference and a Western Conference?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay, Eastern Conference, yeah. Biggie, Jay-Z, mm-hmm. Nas, Redman.
Ooh, I like that.
And I'm going to have to give somebody down south, Jeezy.
Okay.
On the West Coast, E-40, Snoop.
Yep.
Ice Cube,
yep.
Dre, and Pac.
All shit we listened to growing up, especially in Texas. That's all we listened to.
That's nice. I like the East Coast.
Top five.
Western Conference.
The East Coast was cool, though. I like that. Top five current players.
Current.
I hate doing this because they're all guards, too.
It's all right.
All right.
Steph.
Mm-hmm.
Dame.
Dollar. Me, you and Dollar need to do a song.
LeBron. I'm going to go with Joel.
I like that. That's a solid team.
You know he's going to love that.
Yeah. Top five dynasties. I'm sure you were part of
Lakers, Boston, Spurs, Golden State. Mm. And then the last one, Bulls. I'm tripping.
Bulls.
Damn.
I thought you already said
Bulls.
Mm-hmm. How would you rank your top five nicknames?
Big Aristotle, number five. Mm-hmm. Wilt Chamberlain, number four.
Say it again.
Wilt Chamberlain.
Wilt Chamberlain.
He know what that is.
Wilt Chamberlain.
Yeah, Wilt Chamberlain.
I forgot it. I forgot about that one.
Yeah, Big would be three. Big Cactus would be two.
Big Cactus.
Yeah, and number one would be Godzilla Gorilla. So y'all don't know about that one.
Godzilla Gorilla. If you can relive one moment from your career, what moment would that be and why?
It'll be making it to the Final Four and winning a college championship.
Ooh, okay.
I've won on every level except college.
How far do you guys go in the tournament? 16?
The Sour 32.
Ooh. Five dinner guests, dead or alive. You plus five people.
I always used to see Tupac, and we always used to give each other the nod. Mm-hmm. He'd be in it. Biggie would be in it. Jigga's doing big things. I'd like to chop it up with him. That's three. Four would be The guy who taught me about business name was Roger Enrico. He was the CEO of Pepsi. And five would be my sister.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Who would you like to see on All the Smoke? And your answer, you have to help us get this person on the show.
Well, I'm not gonna lie to you, I don't watch a lot of TV. Because I'm a Netflix guy, so.
Yep.
I don't know who you got. I would like to, y'all have Snoop on it yet?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Damn it.
And that was one of our best, one of our longest.
We haven't had Cube yet.
We got Cube coming up.
Dre?
No, I haven't had Dre.
Busta Rhymes.
Haven't had him either. All of them dope.
Yeah, so one of those.
All right. And if you ever do another song. Fat Joe, we need to have him on. So if you ever do another song, count me in.
Let's do it.
We overdue.
I'm in. You need to meet me, All the Smoke to TNT one night. Have us come out there.
Yeah,
I can do that.
We're with that.
Done.
All the Smoke collab.
Done.
Man, that's
Thanks
a wrap.
Coming, big bro.
We appreciate you, big fella.
Appreciate y'all.
That's a wrap. Shaquille O'Neal. You can catch us on Showtime Basketball YouTube.
Shout out to the Kardashians. Chloe over there.
Catch us on Showtime Basketball YouTube and the iHeart platform Black Effects. We'll see y'all next week.
Appreciate you, big fella.
This is All the Smoke, a production of The Black Effect and iHeart Radio in partnership with Showtime.
The hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life and music of an icon who inspired generations through his message of love, peace, and unity. If you missed Bob Marley, One Love in the theaters, now's your chance to watch at home. Stream the hit movie now on Paramount Plus, rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/One Love to try it free now.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox